Welcome to the Soccer Central Podcast.
Good Monday, August the 29th, football fans, and welcome to, yes, as you just heard the man say, the Soccer Central Podcast. I am James Sharman. Today, I'm joined by Thomas Dobby. Hello, Thomas Dobby.
Hello, James Sharman.
And senior, no, let's call him chief football writer and the chief football editor for Sportsnet.ca, John Molinaro. It just sounds better, chief football writer, than senior soccer guy. Don't you think?
I'll take chief. Yeah, that sounds nice and proper.
Maybe we'll just start calling you chief.
Don't do that.
No? No. Okay, chief.
Sounds insensitive.
Yes. Perhaps in this day and age. You're right, actually. Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. We're at the international break. Wasn't the domestic season fun?
Yeah, that was quick. Man, that was a quick one.
Every year we whine about this. Everyone whines about it. I don't know what the solution is, but it does seem it's a bit too early, doesn't it? You just get into the league seasons, and the window's just, barely 2 weeks away. And then they're broken up and dispersed around the globe and playing for their national teams.
Yeah, but it's fun because everyone thinks they have their squad set because you can't make any more moves. And then, somebody like, I'm just going to pull it, Alexis Sanchez goes down on international duty to Chile and comes back with a broken leg and is out for 6 months, and fans lose their minds. So it's always fun for us to watch.
I think it's, I take your point, James. It's, it kind of sucks that, it just seems like we got going and now we got to stop. But I think maybe that this week, this year, it's probably a little bit more pronounced just because of the Euro, right? Do you know what I mean? So if that wasn't the case, then maybe we'd be a little bit more okay with it.
No, I'd be whining
no?
about
would
it.
Would you be whining?
Okay. Yeah. All right. He's a whiner.
Although I think that, international football owes us something. Qualifying is actually generally slightly better than the quality of tournaments, but coming off Euro and that dreadful month of football we had to endure, bit of a stretch.
It wasn't that dreadful.
It was pretty poor. Come on.
I don't know. Was it really?
Yeah. The quality of soccer was just bad.
I don't know, man.
It was negative. We saw these barely countries like Iceland, dare to step up to great triumphant nations like England.
Yeah, I think,
I'm just bitter. Maybe
you're
that's
just, you're bitter about
it
England.
Great, though. It
bitter about England.
Come
you're
on.
Bitter about Portugal winning. And it did get progressively worse. I thought the group stages were good. And then maybe because I was there, it started well. And then it dipped. And by the end, we were just, watching Portugal slog out awful performances and getting the wins. So we're bitter. But
tell me, as England fans, like, if England had played like that and won.
Oh.
Fine with
well,
it.
Of course.
Okay,
then. So absolutely.
It'll be a great tournament.
So fantastic tournament. Best tournament ever.
It's
so the hypocrisy here is like staggering.
Well, yeah. I mean, what do you expect?
No, but I mean, I think because our team crashed out so early, we're able to look at the whole thing more objectively than like yourself, who had a slightly longer run with Italy and were so blinded and one-eyed. And Portuguese fans who say it was probably the greatest display of attacking champagne football they've ever seen. Because they're one-eyed, and that's what fans are. But, we were fortunate that our team bowed out as professionals in the media industry, that we could look at the tournament as a whole.
It's okay, though. We're on board for the big qualifier against Slovakia, right? Sam
Allardyce,
first match. Let's go.
The big squad came out yesterday. I was so excited. What will Sam do? What will be the big... Oh.
Mikel Antonio.
That gets
my blood racing.
That's the controversial choice. Pretty boring squad, wasn't it, in the end?
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, we'll get to that later, but let's get to the action in the Premier League. Manchester United were held by a really tenacious Hull for a long time. Eventually, at the very, very end, the boy wonder, Marcus Rashford, unleashed like a coiled spring, scores 1-0 United. We mentioned last week about them getting their swagger back and that sense of invincibility, and now they're scoring late goals. Like under Sir Alex Ferguson, it's one game, it's Hull. Okay, I understand that. But, that's an important win, I think, for that team early in the season before the break, given what their two rivals, you think, for the title, Chelsea and City, are doing right now.
Yeah, you could see what it meant as well. I mean, to the fans, to the players, the reaction. Of course, you're going to be excited about a 92nd-minute winner, but it is against Hull. And just the way that the bench exploded and the fans on the pitch, and, you could tell that it did mean a lot to them, and it is kind of that already starting out the stall that you have to keep up with those rivals, because it seems that, City are looking already to be close to a finished product under Guardiola, which we didn't expect so soon. And Chelsea have had a good start, so you do have to keep up. And for Man United to do that, I mean, it's important that they get those 3 points at Hull. And I think you touched on something a couple weeks ago, James, and I found myself thinking that over the course of this weekend. Man United are becoming likable again. I find myself almost not rooting for them, but I want them to be involved. It just feels right. And to have the big players like Pogba and Ibra there, and those players that, you know, you want to watch every week. And Man United is a team now that I catch myself wanting to watch them every time they play. So that's doesn't feel too right.
But at the same time, you feel dirty.
Big time.
So
yeah.
Imagine how Tiger Woods must have felt.
Yeah.
Doing his issues. You know? It feels great, but something very wrong about it.
Very wrong. Okay.
I don't feel good about
Interesting.
It for the entire 90 minutes or 90 seconds, as the case may be. The best part about that match, though, I thought, was after Rashford scores, they pan to the bench and Jose's going nuts and Smalling behind him is going nuts, and suddenly Jose turns around and points at Smalling, get out there. And suddenly Smalling, okay, takes the vest off and gets ready.
You're
it's,
on.
It's like this euphoria broken down to the hard reality. Oh, Jose's got the 1-0 lead, a minute left, we're going full defense. But yeah, listen, I hope something terrible happens in that they become unlikable. Mm-hmm. Because I am having grave difficulties with this right now. But you watch Ibra, you know, and his 3 kilometers he runs each game or whatever it is, but he's always an impact out there. He's been given 4 days off this international break, apparently. Jose says that most of his non-internationals are being given 2 days off, but Ibra's old and has played every minute so far, so he's getting 4 days off. Mm. Favoritism, I see a clink in the armor there. I'm joking. Somewhat.
Yeah, I think it'll be just fine. I think
that, teacher's pet.
I think based on his weekly wages and his stature, that I think he probably came in with that teacher's pet already labeled on him, and I don't think that the guys are going to have any reason to be upset about that or the balls to say anything to him about it. So I think he'll be just fine.
I think too, we got to give credit to Hull City, right? Because this was
absolutely
this was a top of the table clash because they won their first two games, and I thought they played fairly well. And, you know, to hold Man United that late and give up the late goal to Rashford, I mean, you know, full credit to them. And especially everything that they've been through with Steve Bruce leaving and then Phelan taking over. And then, you know, their first game of the year, what, they had like 13 guys on the team or something like that. It was, you know, they can barely put out like a full roster. So the fact that they were been so competitive early on, considering everything that they've been through, you know, full credit to them.
Absolutely. And I mean, give Mike Phelan so much credit.
Absolutely.
The guy that, you know, he learned his trade under Sir Alex Ferguson. And so many of Fergie's assistants haven't really made the grade. Brian Kidd being a big one. Steve McLaren, don't forget, was Fergie's right-hand man at United.
The Portuguese guy.
Queiroz. That's right. Went to Real. He had a chance, though. Went to a big club in Real Madrid. It was an unmitigated failure. Also, with the Portuguese national team. But it's good to see Mike Phelan getting the opportunity. And it's at a club that they won't continue this. They're a tiny squad, as we know, and at some point, you know, if they don't sign any players, which is quite possible with the window 10 days away or whatever it is, you know, they're going to eventually tire. But 6 points from 3 games, like you said, post-match, man, I would have taken that before the season. My God.
For sure. They want 34 more. I mean, that's the big goal here is to get to 40 and to be safe, and they'll take 17th, no doubt, especially with all the things that have gone on. They need new ownership. I mean, this is becoming untenable between the club, the owner, the fans. I mean, everything is a disaster, but you can feel that the players have rallied around that and they're thinking, just go and do what we can on the pitch. And, you know, I think that they'd be dumb not to give the full-time job now to Phelan. I mean, if he's getting this kind of play out of 13, 14 guys, and they clearly are doing it all for him, I think that they have to go with him and see where it takes them.
He might be the one guy that actually wants the job.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not lining up for that job, are they?
Fair enough.
Man City, 3-1 over West Ham. That first half of yesterday's match was as good as I've seen this season anywhere. That was incredible. Now, West Ham may have been somewhat, I don't know, dangerous to be content to kind of sit back. But I don't think they could have got the ball anyway. They tried. The movement was unbelievable in that first half. It was just so much fun to watch.
Yeah, West Ham looked, I was disappointed, but, you know, maybe not, I shouldn't have been, because they looked sluggish. I mean, they were coming off the midweek game in the Europa League, so it was their second game in, what, 3 or 4 days. So I guess that could be why they looked a little sluggish, but I don't know. I just was expecting more. I thought they would put up a little bit more of a fight, but yeah, they were played off the park that opening 45 minutes against City.
What I find even more impressive than the passing and the runs and that is just the effort to get the ball back.
Yeah, that's the big thing. That's the difference.
To turn that team from last year, that was not the team.
And that's what, you know, I always wonder what the difference a manager can make, right? You always think, are these guys somewhat overrated? But then you see the difference immediately in all three of these big teams, in Chelsea, United, and City, and you think, it's not just an initial bump. It's these guys actually have that in them to make these players play better and try harder. It's as simple as that. I mean, you look at guys like Raheem Sterling tracking back and winning the ball back, and these guys picking up the ball at all ends of the pitch, and the constant movement, the constant running. And I don't know if it just comes down to tactical changes or reinvigorating, or it's a combination of both, but it's stunning the difference.
I think is that he demands his players defend and do certain things.
And if not, and if you don't want it, you're out of there.
Simple as that. And they like playing with him. And if you read, I keep mentioning it, but reading Pep Confidential, he talks about his training methods and how every single drill is with a ball. Mm. Even fitness drills are with a ball. That's made this fun.
Yeah.
These are footballers, right? And it seems that they're enjoying their football right now.
Yeah.
And when you're seeing, like, you know, Nolito and Aguero inside their own box defending, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's
crazy. You would never have seen that last year. And one player that stands out more and more to me is David Silva, who's been a brilliant player for years, and he's been one of City's best players. The second straight week, he ran more than any other player in that team. Mm. David Silva, that's unbelievable to me. You're watching John Stones, and we are laughing, watching the game with Danny and Craig yesterday, and we're watching John Stones, and he's like on the outside of the attacking box, and he hasn't, you know, their team has lost the ball, but that's where he is.
That's where
he's encouraged to push forward, and, you know, the midfielders will drop back and cover him, but they're just given that license to roam. And John Stones, I mean, I didn't see that much of him last year at Everton. A fair bit. He was hurt quite a bit. Wasn't very good. But you kept hearing people that had followed this kid for years saying, this kid's going to be the next big thing in English football. And man, he looks so, so different this season in that system. I'm fascinated how he fits into Big Sam's plans, because he's clearly good enough to start, but it's going to be such a different style of football under Big Sam than he's playing at Pep Guardiola. But yeah, it's just fun to watch. I mentioned Aguero, the big controversy in the second half, though. After West Ham, in fairness, stepped it up, they went four at the back, I think, at that point. Maybe this was just before that. But the elbow he threw on Winston Reid.
Yeah, should have been off.
Should have been off. And you would think that's a retroactive punishment, right?
And then he's going to miss the Manchester Derby, which is their next league game on the Saturday, September 10th. So, yeah, I mean, I don't get why these guys think they'll get away with that. I mean, everything is seen these days. And yes, you got away with it during the game, but there's cameras rolling, guys. There's people watching this, and you're going to get caught for it.
That was a misdescending, I think. That was a reaction like, God, get off me.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a premeditated thing.
Yeah.
Still worth a ban, of course.
Yeah.
I thought it was terrible, but at the same time, I was quite impressed. It was a very nice, tight elbow.
Yeah.
You know, often you see guys, these big, wide elbows, and, you know, if you know anything about, you know, karate or kickboxing, you know, tightness is so important. Your punches and your elbows, and that's a tight little elbow. So much power there.
Probably why it wasn't seen.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well done. So I wouldn't be surprised if Aguero's, you know, some like ninja or something in his spare time.
Yeah, gonna miss the derby if that happens. So that's huge.
And we'll have that, by the way, 7 a.m. Eastern on September 10th.
7 a.m. Eastern.
It's worth getting up for. Right. Man, that's an early rise. I tell you, I did that on Saturday.
Yeah. What time are you up? 3:30? 4?
No, I was up at 5.
Oh, that's not bad.
Did all my work beforehand.
Yeah.
So I just rolled in here about 6.
Here, yeah.
Went downstairs.
I always find those early kickoffs, Deitch looks like he just woke up.
Yeah, he does.
He's the tired face
there's
in the
no
morning.
There's no doubt Deitch
is
the guy that is last in the studio.
Yeah, oh yeah. You can tell it. It's like he's like still wiping
and
the sleep out of his eyes.
About it. Oh, my God, you should hear the guy.
Doesn't look like a morning person.
I'm not having this. I'm not, this is ridiculous. But he always makes it somehow.
Somehow.
But I do miss that rolling out of bed and just turning the TV on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think United City will be more fun to get up for.
Absolutely worth it.
Chelsea beat Burnley 3-0. I think that was probably Chelsea's best performance of the season so far. I know it's Burnley. Burnley, actually not a bad little team, but played really well.
Yeah, I think that, you know, again, it's all about kind of who you play, and you can only beat the team that's in front of you. And yeah, Burnley were pretty easy fodder, but the fact that, again, guys like Hazard look reinvigorated under a new manager, surprise, surprise. I know he ended last season well, and he had a good Euro, but I mean, he looks like the player from 2 years ago and a guy that, you know, could again compete for player of the year honors in the Premier League and carry a team like he did then. But, you know, when the supporting pieces are also firing and Diego Costa looks like he's having a great start to the year, another guy who you always think that if you can just get the best out of him consistently and not have issues, and you know, Conte's impact is clear on that team right now. They're humming and you know, they haven't been great the first two games. This was definitely their best, and they still have 9 points, and that's what you want. You go on an international break, and you're sitting there thinking, okay, 3-for-3, and once the tougher fixtures start coming, you have that confidence in the team, and you have that weight behind you that you are going to be a team that's competing for the title.
Conte, 28 wins and 2 draws in his last 30 games at home. It's pretty good.
It's not bad.
But then again, when you're coaching Juventus prior to this and club
football, that explains it.
Explains it probably. Yeah. Are you impressed by Conte so far?
Yeah.
You know, everyone thought, well, will he play 3 at the back? And he obviously looked at his team and goes, we can't do that.
Right.
So he's not doing it. 4-1-4-1, I guess, is what it is. Although, sorry, I love Pepo. You know, he even says it. He goes, when we have the ball, there's no formation. Everyone knows their job. Yeah. No, just shut up with these numbers. But still, it's working, isn't it? And he's getting the most out of his players. And you mentioned Hazard and how he's rejuvenated. At Juventus, can you remember a certain player that maybe Conte got more out of that perhaps has struggled?
Maybe. I can't really think of any.
Marquisio blossomed.
Yeah. I don't know that he revitalized. I mean, off the top of my head, I don't know that he revitalized anyone. Kind of if we're talking about the Hazard sort of comparison, I don't think there's anyone quite like that. Certainly players improved under him, I would say, definitely. Mm-hmm. Someone like Carlos Tevez. And,
yeah, I was going to think about Tevez because he came with a bit of baggage.
He did. He
did really well there.
Yeah. But I mean, in terms of like, you know, sort of, again, the Hazard comparison, I'm not sure that there is one, but there's no question that he, you know, at Juventus, he brought out, he made very good players even that much better. He just, I think he has a knack of drawing the very best out of players. And you see it on the pitch or on the sideline. He's a very passionate guy. And that's the type of player he was too when he was Juventus and Italian international. So I'm not terribly surprised by the impact that he's having at Chelsea. I think he's exactly the type of manager they need.
I'm enjoying all these managers and going nuts in the sidelines. No,
it's great.
Klopp had to apologize, was it last week or the week before, for the piggyback with, I think it was Firmino. But it's great, right? Passion. Yeah. It's fun to watch.
Show some emotion.
Yeah,
it's
there's
great.
Nothing wrong with that, right?
No, nothing.
Apparently Chelsea are in on Marcus Alonso, the Fiorentina centre-back.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
About £24 million. Is he? I don't know anything about this guy, really. Do you remember? I mean, you obviously
Yeah. No, he's a talented fullback. I think he's...
Is he fullback or centre-back?
He's a fullback. Definitely someone who could sort of help them. Yeah, well, that'd be a good move for them, actually. He's really the last... he had a very good season last year at Fiorentina.
They've been rebuffed, though, haven't they, with some other, you know, targets from the Serie A. A lot of clubs saying, no.
Right.
You know, we need these guys. But there's this dearth of real quality centre-backs, it seems, especially in the Premier League.
Yeah. They've been out after Koulibaly for a long time as well, right? That's the one that you kind of keep thinking is going to happen, but hasn't yet.
But Napoli, I mean, they've lost Higuain.
Yeah.
They can't lose this guy as well, surely, you know. Maybe they can.
Money talks. Let's see what the offer gets up to. We're only, 2 days away now?
Yeah, exactly. When J-Mo's not watching the Italian Serie A, he's a long-suffering Arsenal fan. The Gunners better this weekend, beat Watford 3-1. Great first half.
Yeah.
Arsenal, I thought, far better. Second half, Watford had to change it up. They went to 4 at the back because
The three at the back thing. I mean, this is...
It's okay if you've got the players and know how to play, but Watford, this is like reinventing. This is not working for
them. I'm not getting it. Watford and West Ham. I mean, Watford playing Arsenal, West Ham playing at Man City, and both teams were just ripped open in the first half of those games. I mean, I get, you know, having a system, but let's use some common sense here. You're playing against great attacking teams. You're really going to throw three at the back, especially Watford, who a couple of players... Right at the end, I think it was Cathcart and someone else had to miss the game because of injury and or other issues. And you're going to go out there and try to play Arsenal in that way. It just didn't make any sense to me. And I thought Mazzarri got it wrong big time.
Now, they have brought in some players, haven't they? In comes Pereira from Juventus. Good player.
Good player.
Scored,
really good player. It's a nice signing. Yeah, scored. And Jan Matt, decent fullback. Maybe he can play as a wing back. Maybe that's part of the
game. Came on as a sub. He actually set up the goal.
And Kabul, who looks a lot thinner this year, doesn't he?
He does. I actually noticed that too. Yeah.
He's a bit of a tubby before, wasn't he?
Yeah, I don't know if he's a tubby as much as he's just, he's a pretty big, solid guy, but he did slim down a little bit for sure.
Gunners bringing in Mustafi and Perez, we think. It's not confirmed yet. They're in for the medicals. I think it's going to happen. So Wenger is spending money now, £52 million pounds. Are you satisfied with that? Does that appease the growing unrest in the fan base that he is spending money? Are these the kind of players you want to spend 50-odd million pounds? And I saw his press conference pre-match and people mentioned that, that's a lot of money. He goes, now I'm being criticized for spending too much money. Right. He can't win, really, can he? Yeah, but still, Perez? Seems a stretch, doesn't it?
I like Mustafi. I think that's a good signing and he can definitely help at the back. I think what they needed to do was go out and get a stud sort of striker forward who can bag 20 to 25 goals, someone who can sort of complement Sanchez. I'm not sure Perez is that guy. So a little disappointing in that, but I mean, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. I mean, I think that the big thing right away, everyone said, oh, these are panic buys and whatever. And Wenger was asked about it, I think on Friday, and he said, is this the face of someone who tends to panic? And I just thought about all the images we have of him over the years doing up his zipper and different looks on his face. And I was like, yes, actually, it's exactly what it looks like. That's the face of someone who panics.
Panicky Pete.
Yeah, big time. I mean, it was clever. I thought that's going to be used for a long time, likely. But I mean, it's not a sexy name in Perez up front. I mean, he had a good year last year, but it was really his first big goal scoring year, and you look at what they did on the weekend and how good they were and how fluid they were without a traditional striker. I mean, I don't consider Alexis Sanchez one, and Giroud is obviously on the bench, but that Sanchez and Ozil combo was just so good together. And you think if you could find a way to have that clicking and have that guy up front who's going to bag the goals, I honestly think that Giroud gets a hard
I agree.
I think
he's a good striker. I think he's very striker.
I think he gets way too much flack because I think he is a good player, but you do want to have another option. I think that, he's a guy that goes in and out of form. When he's in form, he can bag the goals consistently, but I think you want to have someone else, and I don't know if Perez is going to be that guy to be able to do that.
Ozil was great, I thought.
He was fantastic.
And, obviously when he's playing well, the team plays well. Do you get this impression that Arsene Wenger is just so conservative, wrapping his players up in cotton wool, coming out of Euro, and he just got Ozil back in there. He's still not going to play Giroud. These are important games. You want to start the season well just to get the pressure off. I mean, other players are coming off Euro and looking decent enough. Now, we don't know in the story. Maybe Giroud isn't fit enough, but it just seems he's overcautious sometimes, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, I'm of two ways on this, James. I mean, on the one hand, I mean, you're quite right. These games really are, I mean, they're not going to win or lose a title with these games, but they are important in the sense that, you got to hit the ground running and they set the tone early on. But at the same time, we don't know what Giroud, if he's carrying any kind of knock or Ozil. And they had long runs, right? They weren't, they weren't out in the group stage. I mean, France was in the final and Germany was in the semis, so I can understand it if he feels that giving these guys a little bit of extra time is the way to go, then that's the way it is. I don't have a tremendous problem with it.
You look at Arsenal's next games, it's pretty tasty. All right. So Southampton, Hull, Chelsea, beauty, Burnley, Swansea, Middlesbrough, Sunderland.
Wow.
Man, they could be very, very near the top of the table in the next spot by November.
Yeah, extremely winnable.
Simple as that.
Run there,
and they should be. If they're not, then there's greater issues at that club than perhaps we think. They should be in and around the top two or three at that point, if you ask me. Then it's the big derby, November the 6th, against Spurs, and then it's United the next week.
Yeah.
So it gets a lot tougher.
You're right. That is a very nice run looking at that. And Chelsea's at home as well. So
now they have Champions League in there against PSG.
Yep.
Ludogorets. when you saw the draw and you saw Wenger saying PSG will enter as the massive favorites, did that upset you as an Arsenal fan?
No. I mean, I think they are the favorites. I mean, should he have used the word massive?
He may not have used the word massive, but it sounds similar.
Okay.
It's like ginormous,
okay,
humongous. Rather large, something along those lines.
Yeah. Can't imagine Wenger using the word ginormous for some reason.
Ginormous.
It's the face of someone who uses the word ginormous.
humongous, perhaps. Ginormous, not so much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a too big of a problem with it. I mean, I don't think, first of all, I don't think he's wrong. I mean, I think PSG does enter that group.
Ginormous favorites?
Well, as the top favorite, I mean, is
what about humongous? Would you say humongous?
I would say, no, I wouldn't say humongous. I would just say.
But you wouldn't say massive?
No, I wouldn't say massive. I would just say.
So you think massive is actually greater than humongous and ginormous?
This is a test here.
Gigantic?
I would say top favorite.
Underused word, by the way, gigantic.
Yeah?
It's a great word.
Relatively clear favorites.
There you go. Yes. How's that?
There you go. Yes. Relatively clear favorites.
Just from their financial power.
Well,
I'm just
looking at their roster, too. It's a very talented team. I would say much more talented than Arsenal's.
It looks a lot different without Ibra, though, doesn't it?
It does.
That fear factor isn't quite there. There's this comedian on TV right now. Not him. I missed it. Anyway, sorry. I've got a TV here, and there was a comic up there, and I wasn't sure who she was. All right, Spurs-Liverpool 1-1. Really good performance, I thought, by Liverpool. Again, they pressed and they pressed and they pressed. Defensively, they were better. Spurs left a little bit to be desired, didn't they?
They did. Yeah. They rallied in the final third of the game. But, I mean, you look at Liverpool so far and just, again, it kind of sums them up over the last couple of seasons. It's so fun to watch at times. They're attacking flair, but then they just can't finish them off. I mean, I think they're a bit unlucky because I thought Mane's goal was onside and it could have been 2-0 and that was probably jam done. But you start so nicely at Arsenal. You're up 4-1 and humming. 4-3, okay, get the result. Lose to Burnley with 81% possession. That's tough. And now Spurs, I mean, to play three games on the road to start the season in a row and have 4 points and looking at the fixtures, think, okay, well, that's not the worst, but
when you think that you lost the
points to Burnley. You think you lost the points to Burnley and you beat Arsenal away the first game, it is disappointing. And the way that game went, they'll be incredibly aggrieved to not have gotten all three because they looked great at times and just couldn't kill them off. And I think that Klopp is going to have to figure that out and to make sure that that doesn't become a thing, a psychological thing in the room, that they can play so well and not be able to kill it off, because defensively I think they do have issues and they have to get that back four settled. I know there's an injury to Clavin and
no, thank God.
Yeah.
Mikirais, you mean, the goalkeeper.
Sorry?
Clavin hurt too?
Yeah, he...
Oh, is he? Kevin? Yeah.
He missed,
well, yeah. I don't think he'd be in there anyway. I mean, Matip's signed to be a starter.
Yeah.
Lovren's really come a long way, I think, under Klopp. And who knows about Sacco? It's an odd one, that is. You know, he was excellent last year.
Yeah.
Really good. Then got banned. That was overturned. Came back and then got thrown out of the tour for bad punctuality attitude. So, you know, is a message being sent there? Because I think Sacco certainly can be an answer at the back there for this team. But certainly Karius can as well. Although, let's talk about why not go for a Joe Hart. But I think they're really high on this Karius kid from the Bundesliga. Mm. Harry Kane, 0 goals in August in his career. Why is he such a slow starter? Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is kind of weird. You see, I mean, to go an entire month historically in his career without a goal and then...
It's a young career, in fairness, right?
Sure.
But... I mean, it's just some players, and not just in soccer, other sports, they just are slow starters.
Yeah.
Is there something they're doing in the preseason? I don't know what it is.
I don't know. He had plenty of rest after Euro.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Timo. Yeah.
No worries.
I think that it is magnified as well because he did have such a poor Euro, and people are thinking, oh, is he out of form? What's going on with him? But then, again, you just look to last season and see that he didn't score in
September
hits
and 25 goals later.
Yeah, exactly, from then on. So I think he'll be fine, and... You know, Spurs as well, very similar to Liverpool. I mean, these teams, I think, are you're going to be able to compare them all season just because of a bit of the style of play with the pressing and the ambition. I think that both these clubs, you know, it looks right now that they're behind that big three-headed monster of Chelsea, City, and United. And kind of the goal would probably be let's try to get fourth place and push in there and make the Champions League, and both just inconsistent teams still trying to find their identity early in the season. I think Spurs have more of a, you know, a backing from last year to build on, where they had that run at the title and were able to finish third, and Liverpool still trying to find that complete game. But I think that you can look at the two and they're both Jekyll and Hyde, and you can compare them all season and see that they're going to be on a similar plane. I think
they really miss Moussa Dembélé in that midfield. I think he's such an underrated player. And if you speak to the players in that team, and I've read and seen numerous interviews in the summer, most guys say our most important player was Dembélé. and what he brings to that side. He's understated in many ways, apart from when he's gouging Diego Costa's eye. He's got what, one more game ban, I think, and then he's back in there. Now, Wanyama's done a nice job filling in. I like Wanyama. Great player to have as an option. Different kind of player, you know, not quite as dynamic, but you know, obviously a good destroyer. But yeah, when Dembele gets in there, it might click just the right time for Spurs. And, you know, they're going to be in the conversation all year long. Leicester won, finally. Beat Swansea 2-1. Vardy with the goal. What a typical counter-attacking goal, eh? Love that goal.
That was
beautiful.
Nice. That was very nice.
Good to see Vardy on there. And Morris misses a penalty. He's missed three or four now. Three or four penalties he's missed.
Might have
this
to
year or?
No, like in his last four penalties, going back to last season, he's missed three of them.
Wow.
At what point does he get in your head, you wonder?
Yeah, I think that they might want to think about that. But what I noticed from that match mostly is that you could feel the magic back at King Power, right? I mean, it kind of shades of last year. It felt that good with Vardy scoring and just the noisemakers going nuts, which I'm still, you know, getting used to, I guess. We got used to it last year. But yeah, you could feel that something there again in the shots of Ranieri, just the rain pouring down in his in his hood and stuff. I just, something felt right about it and felt good for Leicester. And you could tell that it was a relief for them to get off the ground with their first win, and plenty more to come. And I'm just really excited to see where the season goes for them.
That's Ranieri's 100th Premier League win as a manager, the fifth most by a foreign manager. Fifth most. It's quite surprising to me. I mean, there's been so many foreign managers.
All right, let's try to name them. Do you know them offhand? Can you find
Mourinho
them?
Would be
Mourinho.
One.
Okay. Do you have
Wenger,
the list?
Yep. I haven't got a list, no.
No.
Let me look it up.
Wenger, Mourinho.
Ferguson. Hey, I'm joking. They count him as being a domestic.
So fifth. Okay.
Wenger, Mourinho.
Yeah, those two are the slam dunks. And then fifth most, 100. Okay, we'll come back to
that longevity
about it.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to think.
I'm just trying to find
out. I know. Sorry, it was my idea. And then I ran out after two because I'm feeling dumb. Longevity.
Okay, let's have a look here, shall we?
Silence.
Yeah, silence. I'm just trying to find it. I can't find it right now. I mean, 100, think about 100. A decent team's going to win. Decent team, not saying a great team. What?
Rafa 15. Benitez.
Rafa would be up there, I would imagine.
Or Liverpool.
Yep, there's a good one.
Should be 100.
Who is with top clubs?
That's what I was doing.
I mean, we'll figure it out. Maybe let us know, listeners.
Would Mancini I wonder if he would have been able to get 100 in.
How long was he at?
I don't know if he would have.
Probably not long enough, I don't think.
Yeah, maybe that's a bit of a stretch. Yeah.
Well, we'll find it and we'll either tweet it or bring it up at the end of the show. I think Benitez would be the third. A third.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Anyway.
Those foreigners always causing problems.
Exactly. All right. Anyway, where were we? Leicester won. Yeah, great. Daniel Amati looks pretty good. The guy they signed, I think it's last January, about $6 million from Copenhagen. And we're talking about who's going to be the replacement for Kante. And Mendy obviously is out. But this kid looked pretty good. And it's early in his career, of course. But Leicester have a knack of unearthing these talents.
Yeah, I mean, he was great winning the ball back on the Vardy goal. He won that ball.
He won 14 balls back, 14.
Really?
Kante apparently averaged about 9 a game. Hmm. So, listen, I'm sure Kante had some crazy games too when he did the same, but still, it's pretty impressive. Everton beat Stoke 1-0. You see the Shea Given own goal off the penalty?
That's tough.
Makes a save off the post, off his head and in.
That's always tough. You always think on those, the penalties. Oh, own goal. What can you do about it?
Palace tied Bournemouth 1-1. Scott Dan, 94th minute equaliser.
They needed that one.
Here's going to be my little bit of a prognostication looking into the crystal ball here, right? Alan Pardew will get fired in October, November, when sit down, do some media gigs, and then we'll be the first guy hired by some club in like February, March, or April, and we'll guide them to survival. Right? Is he not the guy? It's going to be him, right?
He probably is.
Yeah.
He's probably that guy. I mean, it's been a slippery slope. I mean, we know how well they started last year, and they've kind of, I think they won 2 games out of 20-something. They needed this just to go into the international break with some sort of feeling around the club that they might be okay. But the biggest thing, too, in that game, these penalties that Mike Dean specifically is giving, but in general are being given for these just arms on a shoulder, tugs. I mean, that penalty that was given for Palace, and thankfully they missed it. Ball don't lie, as they say. But that tug, I mean, and the couple that he gave in the City Stoke game, they're just, it's driving me nuts. Yeah. How can you defend in the league if you're going to give penalties for that, where a guy's basically hand is on a guy's shoulder in the box? No one's appealing for it, and it shocks everyone that a penalty's given. What is going on? Why are they allowing this, and why are they you're not going to be consistent with that, because if you're calling that every time, there's going to be 20 penalties a game.
It's going both ways, right? It's going both ways. It's a trouble. Right?
It's just, it's subjective. You're going to call it any time.
You don't mind so much if they're being called consistently, right? I mean, the players know this stuff, right? Some of the penalties given up this weekend for grabbing, I mean, these players have been, it's been drilled into their head all week long. The referees have visited each club, have spoken to them. Pep was saying they're having a team meeting on Friday to you know, drill it into their heads. Listen, you cannot do this anymore. And there you go. There he is. Numerous players doing it.
Yeah.
So, I think footballers are pretty stupid.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's if you can get an advantage and you know that 19 out of 20 times, 99 out of 100 maybe, that's not going to be called for what that penalty was given for. And then it's called. I hate the new rule about, I can't stand that those penalties are being called. It's killing the game.
Gerard Houllier, by the way.
Of course.
There
well
you
done.
Go. Yeah.
So we've got Houllier, Ranieri, Benitez.
And Wenger.
Yeah. That's four, isn't it?
And Mourinho.
Yeah. And nice. Pellegrini was pretty close.
Was he?
Yeah, 98 games.
Wow.
So just under.
Really, eh? Yeah. You mentioned Mancini. Mancini won 82 of 133. Yeah. Ancelotti, I thought, but just won 48.
Yeah,
he just only 76, right?
Yeah, he wasn't early enough.
Yeah. Interesting.
We did pretty well. Got 3 out of 4.
Yeah, not
Houllier.
Bad. Yeah,
that should have been you, Charles.
I don't know how I didn't think about that. It just ended badly, I guess, with Houllier. All right. Quickly, Southampton 1, Sunderland 1. Defoe, 10 goals in his last 10 away games. Guy you want in the trenches with you.
Yeah.
Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah, I mean, say whatever you want about him. I know he doesn't sort of elicit the best memories from fans in these parts, but he scores, gets it done.
Barrow 0, West Brom 0. Thank God I was here working, preparing for the next game. I didn't really pay it much attention.
No, I didn't watch it. And I heard nothing but bad things. I read about 4 or 5 headlines on it. Just dour and wretched.
Wretched is a great word.
There was a lot of, I saw quite a few headlines about that match that were just terrible with no real talking points. So let's move on.
All right, listen, we're off to international qualifying now for the World Cup. The road to Moscow. Are you dusting off your passport for that one, J-Mo?
Hope to be, yeah.
You do? Well, really? You want to go?
Yeah, of course.
Really? Hey, listen, I wouldn't say no if I was given that assignment, but...
I'd spend a month in Moscow, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Given what you saw at Euro?
Yeah.
Get your ass kicked.
Wouldn't be the first time.
I'm a little terrified. I don't think I'm going to Russia.
Yeah, I think it'd be quite the same demand for tickets as previous World Cups. Especially if England failed to get there. England's squad was announced, as mentioned, not too sexy. In comes Antonio. Wiltshire out. So he should be, not playing enough. Barkley out. A bit of a surprise there.
Yeah, that was the one that Allardyce kind of said was the toughest omission, I guess, for him. But
he's no intention of playing any kind of creative football whatsoever.
The thing is, too, it's like, oh, Mikel Antonio called. Like, he's not going to see the field, right?
You know what? The boy can head the ball. And Sam loves his direct football. And he'll play with wide players.
Can't wait till Andy Carroll's back in the mix, eh?
He will be.
Yeah, you think at some point?
Sure,
yeah,
he will
for
be,
sure.
Yeah. Sam
yeah.
loves him. Sam spent, what, £15 million on him?
Yeah.
Was it 15? I think it was, wasn't it, at West Ham? He loves him. But he won't be healthy for any international games, so probably won't be a big issue. Rooney was picked again in the midfield, but Sam says for him he's an attacking midfielder, so he goes attacking midfielder, striker, whatever. He'll play in that 10 spot.
Mourinho's going to love that.
Yeah, playing where he's playing at Chelsea, right? So at United, sorry. Nothing too sexy there. Italy I found more interesting, and the new manager there, right? Gianpiero Ventura comes in, calls up the 17-year-old Milanese kid. How do you pronounce it? Donnarumma?
Yep.
Okay, tell me about this kid.
Very good goalkeeper. I think he made his debut last year under Mihailovic when he was manager at AC Milan, and just because he was their first two goalkeepers were out injured, so he was basically the third stringer. They threw him in, and it worked out well. It's very similar sort of trajectory to Gianluigi Buffon, who debuted as a 17 or 16-year-old, I can't remember, and, you know, immediately impressed. So they're, not that they're hyping him as the next Buffon, but there's certainly expectations there that this could be the next sort of great Italian goalkeeper. And he's, you know, he's looked pretty poised and pretty solid for a young goalkeeper like that.
Trouble is, I mean, he's 17, right? But he's still got 10 years or so to play behind Buffon.
Well, I don't know, 10 years, but...
he's not going to retire ever. Well, doesn't need to.
Yeah, I think it's another probably, you know, after Russia, that'll be it for Buffon. Then he'll step aside.
No, so. I can see it now. I can see that
really?
Eventually the bio comes out, the memoirs of this Donnarumma kid when he's like 40 and lamenting his international career.
Buffon for
the entire career. And he's still playing, and I've retired. My God, he's 70.
The robot.
He wouldn't be the last. I mean, there's been a lot of great goalkeepers of Italian Italian goalkeepers who have, you know, they just haven't been able to get many games because of Buffon, yeah. Right? So it's a similar story.
Although the new coach, Ventura, says he does want to, in the next 2 or 3 years, he's going to push youth. Youth is everything.
Yeah.
He must get this team younger.
Yeah, and I don't think that's a bad way to go. It's interesting that he called up Graziano Pelle, who I would have thought going to China would have been a death sentence, but apparently not. So maybe there's still hope for Javinko.
They rate the Chinese league higher than the MLS, apparently. So
really, I guess seriously,
it's unbelievable.
How can you not pull up Javinko, and you call up Pella. Well, I think positions, but
I think Pella just because he's coming off a pretty not I wouldn't say a strong Euro, but he did fairly well, and you know it's not exactly like, you know, Italy are flush for great forwards at the moment
because they've got so much creativity in midfield.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're playing France in a friendly on Thursday. That's a juicy one, isn't it?
Yeah, and then I think they're playing Israel qualifier.
On Tuesday, I think it is.
Yeah.
See, Thierry Henry has joined up the Belgium setup under Roberto Martinez.
Has he? I haven't seen that.
Yeah, as an assistant.
Belgium setup.
It's going to solidify the defense. Martinez and Henry throwing the shots.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I want to play that
team. Stellar defense. Please let us get Belgium.
Oh, please.
Getting back to England, who did he, other than Joe Hart, who was the other goalkeeper? Was it Butland? Or?
No, Butland's out still. It's Forrester.
Forrester and Tom Heaton.
And Tom Heaton at Burnley.
Okay.
Yeah. Butland will. I mean, Craig Forrest is really high on Butland.
So yeah, I am too.
It's going to be the future.
I am too. I mean, I get why he called in Hart now because if Butland is out, that's
squad
fine.
Type. He's not going to play.
Yeah.
Right, I think it's going to be Forrester. He shouldn't be playing because he's not playing.
Right.
And that's the one position where you have to be playing, you think, week in and week out to, you know, confirm your position as an international goalkeeper.
Right.
Right. Maybe other positions you can maybe, you know, be more of a bench role player. But in goal, you've got to be fresh and.
Yeah,
face
and
reps.
Sharp. No, yeah. No doubt.
You were at TFC on the weekend, losing to Montreal.
Yeah,
not a great game, was it?
No, it was heartbreaking for Toronto. They sort of dominated that one and went up a man because Montreal had a man sent off in the 43rd minute, and not for the first time this season.
Crazy, yeah. The one in San Jose, right? I mean, losing to 9 men—that's
2 weeks ago. They were up a man in Houston and can only get a draw. So this is like the third consecutive time where they draw points against a team that was playing a man short. So it was a bit disappointing because it was, you know, they're coming off that great run and everyone thought this could be a statement game that they could really put the hammer down. So it was, and it was just, other than that goal, that was all Montreal did. It was just, you know, one quick sort of route one football, defensive breakdown for Toronto FC, and that was it.
No word on Javinko just yet. We should find out later today.
Yeah, he had to come out of the game, I think, like around the 63rd minute or something like that with a groin injury. So we should get an indication of about how serious it is. The good news is that they're off this week
because
of international break.
So are Bradley and Altidore going to miss any games?
No,
I mean, they'll be back.
They got called up.
Well, Josie will because he'll probably get hurt on international duty.
But they don't play again until the 10th, so they should be back for that.
Yeah, so they're not going to miss any games. I mean, assuming they, you know, don't get injured while playing with the U.S. So that's, they caught a break there.
Yeah. I know someone that saw Javinko yesterday walking around Yorkville with his dog. Mm. So he can't be in that much pain. Doesn't mean he can start playing professional football anytime soon. But
those are two different things.
He's doing all right for himself. Pretty amazing banners by the fans.
Incredible.
Huge.
Yeah. The TIFO display in the South End was incredible. It was kind of like a three-piece TIFO with I forget what it was. It's saying, "This is our fun house. Welcome to the circus." This something like I can't remember specifically, but it was just a play on, you know, Impact fans have historically referred to TFC as clowns. So it was, it was a nice little, it really was when you look at it and when it was unfurled. Yeah. Pretty amazing.
It was amazing. Really was. And sadly though, that the one unsavory banner by some moron gets almost more press. Mm.
It was one of those kind of two sticks.
Yeah.
So I won't even mention what it was on it, but it was pretty graphic. So.
Rumors are it was one of the inebriati. Is that the fan group? Yeah. It seems that whenever there's something unsavory, that group's involved.
Yeah, it's a bit unfortunate because they were also involved.
Yeah,
in the big one. So
well, they got some bad apples, so to speak, in that group, and you need to get those guys out because they're a freaking embarrassment.
Yeah. Well, and some security issues too that they were even able to get that sort of two-stick banner in. So it's a bit unfortunate. Not that I blame the club, but it does sort of reflect poorly on them when something like that happens.
Yep, for sure. Vancouver, they tied LA 0-0, but they're still way out of the playoff race. What's happening at Vancouver, JMO?
I just don't think they're a good team. I just
simple as that.
Yeah, I think, you know, they didn't really sort of buy or strengthen in the off season, and a lot of the guys who they thought were, you know, bought in previous seasons have kind of tapered off. Pedro Morales has been a non-factor.
Two
for
years
them.
Now, really, isn't it?
Yeah, he's been a non-factor. Octavio Rivero had that one sort of solid start, and then, you know, they sold him off. And they're just, you know, I think to a certain extent, Carl Robinson is hamstrung by, you know, a management team who, just doesn't want to sort of, not very ambitious in terms of player procurement and stuff like that. So he's got to deal with what he's, can only play the cards that he's dealt, and I don't think he has a great hand.
Well, they better be careful because he's pretty respected around the league. And I know he's ambitious.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's no rumors to suggest he's on his way out. But, you know, you've got to back your manager at some point.
Yeah. It wouldn't surprise me to see him sort of go back to England one day. And, you know, if not the Premier League, then definitely the Championship. He's a bright young manager.
Yeah, for sure. All right, let's go through some emails here. Some tweets. what is this? 2003.
Yeah, living in the past. Let's go through some emails.
Feedback
at thescore.com. direct them to...
Evan Pritchard, can we ID the most important goal of the weekend? Perhaps the late goal by Palace or United? That's a good question.
Yeah, we kind of touched on both of them and how Palace important they were.
Probably the most important.
They
just in
that
they were on 0 points. Pardew was suggesting that his manager must spend. They needed that point more than United did. However, United keeping pace with City and
those
Chelsea.
Those 2 points in the end could be massive for United.
Point,
I know we're 35 games and 9 months away, but...
Yeah. Jay to the Bird, Justin Bird. Raul Morales is a free agent. Premier League or MLS? You know, his hair fits into the MLS pretty well. There's some really douchey haircuts in MLS.
There's pretty douchey ones in Premier League,
I think,
too.
More so in MLS, though. It just seems there's a lot of bad ones.
Yeah.
I can see him coming here, can't you?
That could, absolutely.
He's got a name.
Absolutely.
Sure. What else we got here? Kobe, I'm butter chicken. I love butter chicken.
Do you? Yeah, you're big on your Indian food.
I love my Indian food.
Yeah,
I really do. I feel butter chicken's a bit of a con. It's not really that Indian.
No.
I know vindaloo is actually an English curry.
Okay.
By the Indian community in England.
Cooking with Charmin.
Yeah. JMO's a big cook.
I love Indian food.
Do you cook Indian food?
Very occasionally. I'm not big on butter chicken, though.
Oh, you're not really?
No, I just, it wouldn't be my thing.
Vats of it. Vats and vats.
I'm more of a vindaloo guy.
Yeah, I love vindaloo. There's not a curry I dislike, actually.
I like sort of hot and spicy stuff.
So do I, but it doesn't do well in the old gastrointestinal tract, shall we say. Anyway, I'm Butter Chicken says, what is Liverpool's best starting 11, and does it include Sturridge?
It's for you, Sharms.
No, it doesn't include Sturridge. He just doesn't. He's not a Klopp player. He just isn't. He's not going to press. He's not going to work hard. Wonderful skill base. I think I can see him moving at some point.
Yeah.
And he'll score a lot of goals if he stays healthy, but... he's not that type of player, and Klopp demands his players work hard, press, get back. That's why he's playing Firmino at centre forward, right? Well, false nine, really, but centre forward instead of Sturridge right now.
And nobody gets a pass. I mean, it's completely Klopp's team, and he gets to do what he wants, right? And I feel like the fans are okay with that, too. They're just completely behind him, and please take us to the promised land. However you need to get there, we believe in you, right? Which is nice to have that for a manager and have that complete autonomy and the backing, because that's pretty rare these days. And I think that, you know, that's a common theme in the Premier League right now with these new guys, because all of these teams have been in some semblance of turmoil over the last few years. Because if you're Man United and Chelsea and Man City, if you're not winning the title, that's turmoil. And that's why all these new guys are in, and throw Klopp in that mix of guys that have complete and utter control over their club right now with all of the money and everything that comes with it. So interesting to see how long that lasts, because if you're not winning, that's going to go away.
I think they're the best living right now is probably right now Milner at left back, which is a concern. Even though he played pretty well on the weekend, even to the penalty. At right back, it's Klein, obviously. Center backs, you got Matip and, well, right now it's Lovren, but I can see Sacco getting back in there eventually. The big question is that the two, if he plays a 4-2-3-1, it's 4-3-3. Who knows? But they need those guys to shield the back four, right? And they haven't got them. It's not Jordan Henderson.
No.
Emre Can, when he's healthy, will be in there. He'll walk in there probably beside Henderson.
When's Lucas going to be back?
You know what? It's a great point.
He was on the bench on the weekend.
I like him, but he's always talking about him leaving.
Yeah.
I'm not sure I think Klopp respects him. I'm not sure he rates him too highly. And then up top, you got Coutinho. You got Lallana, I like a lot. You got Firmino. And I don't know.
Mane.
I guess. So yeah, probably Mane on the right and Firmino at top right now. It's just this ever-evolving 11 right now. So it's hard to really say.
So you didn't answer the question at all.
No,
sorry, butter chicken.
I don't know what the best.
Sorry, butter chicken. We went on a tangent with Indian food, and Sharma named 13 guys and two ghosts in the
Mane's
center midfield.
Okay, money's definitely in there.
Good.
Any bits and bobs, boys? We want to get to?
No.
No.
Jays are dominating my life. I don't do anything outside of.
Yeah, you produced Jay Central.
I did on Saturday. It was fun.
My voice makes its debut tonight on Jay Central.
Yeah, Sharman's really? Going to be on the big show tonight.
The voice. Yeah. 7 o'clock Eastern.
Going over to the dark side.
I think it's on a 6:30 Eastern, right?
Blue Jay Central, but the tease will run right at 7.
Okay.
Yeah, right at 7 o'clock.
All right.
About a million viewers for you, Sharms.
Nice.
Boom.
All right. So much like the old score numbers.
Yeah.
The footy show.
Exactly, yeah.
My bits and bobs, a couple quickly. One is at the beer store yesterday, and they got their top picks poster in the beer stores. If you read that thing, you know there's no hope left for society. My God, if those are the most rated beers, the biggest selling brands, sweet Jesus. No wonder Trump started to get into power
Molson
down south.
Molson X or something? Molson Dry?
I'm not going to throw any brand under the bus, because maybe they want to sponsor the podcast. But good God, does anyone nowadays understand what good beer tastes like? A light beer is number one for starters. Just drink water, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, the beer store is not the clientele that, you know.
No, it's
you're more of an LCBO guy. Go to
my craft brew.
Exactly, they got proper craft brews there,
as well, and also, my other one is loafers. More and more, they're becoming popular now. I saw Dunlop wearing a pair last week. No surprise. Awful on him.
No surprise. No socks, probably.
No socks.
Yeah.
And like his pants were rolled up mid-calf.
No. That's Dunlop.
There's no need for loafers.
No.
I bet they buy their freaking top picks at the beer store. People buy loafers.
I actually do have one. I did the edge walk this weekend, Saturday night.
I saw the picture on Facebook, actually. Yeah,
it was pretty terrifying. We went up at 8:30. We got up there, so it was pitch black. And walking around was fine, but then have you guys, either of you done it?
No.
They do like these little, you know, tasks that you can do, whatever, and you kind of, there's one where you kind of sit and you back up and your heels are off of it and you're supposed to just, you know, stretch your legs out and then let your arms go. I was terrified. I did it with my girlfriend. She was fine doing it. I'm like such a scared little boy. Like, I'm holding the rope, clenching. My hands still hurt from clenching so hard. I eventually did it all, but like, man, I thought I was brave. I thought I'd be fine. And it was a treat. I tell you, I was.
It looks terrifying.
It was frightening. Yeah. Fun though. Worth it.
Let's go and do it, JMO, now.
You guys should go do it.
Come on.
No, not interested.
Okay. Me neither, actually. And the older you get, the more cowardly you get.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I thought I was a brave guy. And then I struggled.
There was a time when I'd do anything.
Really, yeah.
Skydiving.
I'd like to go skydiving, but now I did that. I'm like, would I be able to handle it? I don't spend all that money. I get to the edge of the plane. I'm sitting back.
How much
down.
Is it?
The edge walk?
Yeah.
Total for the two of us, it was like about $450 after everything.
$450?
Wow, really?
I guess $225 each.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That much?
Yeah.
What a ripoff.
I know. It was a birthday present for her, so. But yeah, wow. It's like
$225
bucks a pop.
I thought like $20 each. Wow.
No.
That's ludicrous.
That's a lot.
Is it all insurance?
I don't know.
Probably insurance.
There must be like, I guess, because of the cost of rigging and whatnot.
I guess, yeah. That's
wow,
the
that
cost.
That seems pretty steep.
They're making
it. Definitely not doing it now.
Think about that, though. I mean, our group only had five, but I think it's groups of 6 to 8, and it's like it's a group every half hour. So I think they get about 200 people up there a day. Think about how much they're making.
Wow. So they can afford those crazy lights in the CN Tower now.
Yeah, exactly.
Go. Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah. I got a quick bit.
Yes.
Arugula.
You're a big fan.
I'm a big fan. I've been using it a lot lately.
Okay. that's I know you love it because often on Twitter you'll post pictures of your arugula salads.
Very daring as well. Derek CN Tower, daring arugula.
Exactly. If you're going for a leafy green, that's a daring one.
It's you know what? I don't think it gets enough credit. It's a damn fine leafy green.
It's called Rocket, I think, isn't it?
In England, yeah. You guys call it Rocket.
I call it arugula.
Yeah, it's arugula.
I know it's Rocket. Now, a vinaigrette, a balsamic vinaigrette?
I'll do all kinds of, you know what I've been doing lately is, instead of when I make a pesto for pasta, instead of basil, I'll use arugula.
Really? Is that strong enough flavor?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I might try that.
Yeah, it's really good. Or I've been kind of doing tagliatelle, which is a kind of like a linguine. With fried pancetta and lemon and arugula.
It's like you're naming the Italy's back four.
Yeah, I know. Arugula, pancetta.
Next time on the Cooking Central podcast.
You know, I've been growing some Thai basil in my little vegetable garden.
Oh, this my summer. God.
And some tomatoes.
Charms.
And the little bastard squirrels are eating everything.
God, you're getting old, Charms.
I'm so
you're
old.
Gardening.
My vegetable.
When I met you, you were so young and hip and cool, and now you're... gardening.
I know.
Buy some arugula if you can.
Arugula? I'm going to try some. Yeah, I will. I'll do that. All right. Thanks, boys. Thanks, John Molinaro, chef. Chief
no
chef John Molinaro.
Chief chef.
Thomas
chef
Dovey.
Chef de Michon.
Lance Candy behind the glass, who himself is a culinary savant. I'm James Sharman. Apologies.